So this is a tough one. So let me pray and we'll get started. Lord, we thank you for your abundant grace, your loving kindness. Thank you that we're reminded that in the midst of total calamity, your mercies are new every morning. Paul even reminded us that when he despaired even of life, that you were renewing him in his inner man. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we try to walk into the shoes of those who have experienced what they might call a nightmare, that you would help us to reflect and then to have some sort of way of talking and serving and helping. Lord, thank you for those who are here to share some testimonies about their experiences, and that'll give us a chance to learn merely from those who not just talk about it, but those who have lived it. And Lord, I pray that would help us to develop a true sensitivity and care for the people who are experiencing these kinds of things. Lord, we also thank you that your grace is enough and that you are our rock and our fortress, our strong tower, when it seems as if the enemies are winning. And so I pray that you would help us to be able to focus, and that if we are in a position, that this would help us to serve those who are struggling in this fashion. So we pray in Christ's name, amen. Well, you know, every year we invest a lot of time into track four, trying to think of sessions and ideas that we think will serve you, that are going to help you as you deal with some of the more difficult cases. And over the past few years, we've kind of had the subject of adoption on our radar, but we hadn't really brought it to track four yet. And what we tried to do in just thinking about this is that there were really three categories of parental adoption situations. The first one is the adoptive children function a lot like the biological children function. That doesn't mean that everything is easy and that there's never any problems or ever any discipline or any ever difficulties. It just means that normal care, compassion, and discipline strategies work in the sense that they can remain a family. So there's not chaos, it's normal parenting. And there are some who have adopted and they had biological children, and then they added adoptive children to the mix, and they would testify that for the most part, the biological children and the adoptive children were children. They were just children. And therefore, they needed to learn and grow just like everybody else does, and they needed to be disciplined and loved just like everybody else, and they stayed a family. Great. We praise God for that. And even when it's tough, we sometimes reference, you know, Brad Bigney's session on desperate parents make the best parents. But we're still a family. The second category, which is what Amy was addressing, is that the adoptive child has patterns of suffering, sinfulness, and rebellion that are directly connected to the adoption. So where they came from, who they are, the losses, the life challenges that they experienced are all part of their stories. And they experience something more than normal parenting issues. In this case, nothing they try really seems to work. In fact, it becomes more intense. And the rebellion happens at a greater level, much earlier than what parents of biological children typically experience. So instead of parents struggling with a 15-year-old, they're having intense battles with a 7-year-old. And so some of the takeaways from the first session were things like adoptive parents believe that adoption is part of how they honor Christ. They anticipate and accept the hardships. And then we gave a series of ideas, a series of things that you can talk about in the midst of counseling those in that situation. And many of these families persevere. It's not easy, and the pain is intense, sometimes for years. But in each case, the adoptive child or children still integrate into the family. They still persevere as a family until they reach the time where they move off on their own. So it's tough, but they're able to persevere. This session, this is category three. What happens when the difficulties, the hardships, the rebellion, the challenges turn violent? Now we're talking about a nightmare scenario. It's not just parenting anymore. It's, did we hide all of the knives? Or did some of the knives still find their way somewhere? And am I going to wake up tonight at the sounds of screaming as one child stabs another? We occasionally hear about situations like this in the news. Tori Ann Hansen's case was very popular. She adopted a son from Russia. In 2010, she sent that 7-year-old adoptive son on a flight back to Russia with a note that says he's violent and has severe psychopathic issues. And a Russian court annulled the adoption. And it made national headlines. I mean, she was practically crucified in the media because her actions were downright shocking. Drives to the airport, bought him a flight, puts him on the flight, and off he goes and lands in Russia with a sign that says, "Here I am, I'm back." Wow. I tried to find out what happened to him. It's been 20-some years. I couldn't find it. I didn't look super amazingly hard, but I did try to find out. Couldn't find out. But while I was doing some hunting, I actually found another case that made national news. This time, another couple returned their daughter to a psychiatric hospital again in Russia. They had adopted 2 children, a 9-year-old girl and a 3-year-old boy. And after 3 years, the couple could not take it anymore, so they kept the boy and returned the girl. So again, they delivered her to the psychiatric hospital. Now, in this case, they didn't just send her on an airplane. They actually went with her and dropped her off. In both of these cases, now I'll tell you, in her case, the U.S. Adoption Agency actually went to Russia and reclaimed her. And another American family adopted her. And in her story, the girl grew up in a loving home. Today, she's like 35 years old, married with 4 kids of her own. But the media made both of these parents out to be villains. They were hated, accosted. But they're not the only ones who have rehomed children, as terrible as that sounds. And I think it's easy when watching the news to be quite judgmental when looking at adoption from the outside. But maybe we ought to be a little more cautious and a little more willing to get into the middle of the story before we come to too strong of conclusions. Maybe these parents did completely blow it, and maybe they were and are a disgrace to the adoption community. But what happens when your story or a family member's story is like one of these scenarios? What if the support of friends, family, church, and counseling are insufficient to turn the tide and allow everyone to peacefully coexist? So 2 of our own church family members were kind enough to join me today to share a part of their story. They're not the only ones suffering like this. I remember working with a family. We didn't know them. They were outside of our church, but they did live in the area, whose 15-year-old adoptive daughter stole the family car, got drunk, and crashed the car into a tree. Years of rebellion prior to that incident have now resulted in an absolute family nightmare. because not only did they have the drinking,